Just want to look at one verse this morning, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The title of the message is "The Just Shall Live by Faith." And we looked at this verse as part of last Sunday's message, but I want to go back and look at this verse in particular. Look at it in some detail, since this verse is the theme of the whole book of Romans. The just shall live by faith. Justification is by faith in Christ, without any of our works being added to it. That's what Paul says, the just shall live by faith. And you know, that must be an important statement, because that statement, the just shall live by faith, is repeated four times in the Word of God. I kind of like things that are repeated. If God takes the time to repeat them, I think, maybe it's meant to be heard, huh? I like to look at those things that are repeated. And I want to look at the four different places this phrase, the just shall live by faith, is used in God's Word. Because in context, each time that phrase is used, it deals with a different aspect of the believer's experience of salvation. Now, this is a powerful statement. Only God could make such a powerful statement in such few words. The just shall live by faith. The Lord put that phrase in the heart of Martin Luther, and the whole Protestant Reformation came out of it, because the Lord finally showed him what it means. The just shall live by faith. Not by our works of the law, not by all of our religious activity and religious ceremony, but the just shall live by faith. The Lord showed Martin Luther what that meant. Salvation is all in Christ, and it's ours by faith in Christ. Now the focus here in Romans 1 verse 17 is that sinners are made righteous in Christ. Let's read it. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. Now that ought to get our attention, because you know all of us here are ruined in sin. We're ruined in Adam. And you know, when something is ruined, that means it can't be repaired. You can't fix it up. It's ruined. And that's what you and I are in Adam. We're ruined in sin. We can't be fixed up. We can't be remodeled. We can't do something by trying to keep the law or acting religious. We can't do something to prop ourselves up. No, we're ruined. We're ruined. But the gospel of Christ is good news for sinners, because the gospel of Christ declares a righteousness for sinners. Now, this righteousness that the gospel of Christ declares, it's not a righteousness we can earn. It's not a righteousness we can earn through the law. It's not a righteousness we can earn by switching religious denominations or going through some religious ceremony. Righteousness for sinners is the righteousness of Christ. It's the righteousness that Christ earned as a man by obeying the law. And God freely imputes that righteousness to his people. God makes his people legally righteous by making the righteousness of Christ to be our righteousness. And every believer, by faith, says this, that the righteousness of Christ, the obedience of the man Jesus of Nazareth, that is my personal obedience before God. And somebody might ask, now how can you say that? How can you say that the obedience of Christ is your personal obedience? You didn't earn it, he did. You're exactly right. He earned it. But you know why it's mine? Because he gave it to me. That's imputation. He gave me his righteousness so that I'm righteous in him. And sinners receive that righteousness simply by believing Christ, through faith in Christ, by being joined to him by faith. How am I righteous? How righteous am I? Through faith in Christ. Does it make me pretty righteous and I got to finish it up? Or does it make me righteous but then I got to keep myself righteous? How righteous is it that Christ makes me by faith in him? Absolutely perfect, so that it can never be lost. Paul says everyone who has this faith in Christ is just. The just shall live by faith. That word just means justified. So that I, not just as if I'd never sinned, but so that I have never sinned. That's how righteous a believer is through faith in Christ. completely righteous. And Paul says this righteousness, the only righteousness of Christ, the only place it's revealed is through the gospel of Christ. Now, when Paul talks about the righteousness of God being revealed, what is it that he means by that? Well, he doesn't mean that the righteous character of God is revealed in the gospel, although we do declare that in the gospel. But what Paul's talking about here specifically is the gospel declares how Christ is the righteousness of his people. That's what the gospel declares. The Father elected a people into salvation. Now, God's holy. Do we know that? God's holy. Well, then those people that God chose to save, somehow, they've got to be righteous. They've got to be made righteous because God can't accept them if they're not righteous. They can't make themselves righteous. God gave the law, but they can't keep it. So you know what God did? He sent his son into this earth as a man to obey the law, to establish righteousness so that he could give it to his people. And so that God could make his people righteous. He makes his people exactly what he requires. He makes them holy. He makes them righteous. And God reveals that to the hearts of his people through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of Christ. And when the gospel is preached, God gives his people faith to believe it. One of the themes that we seem to be talking about this weekend at the conference in Lexington was the necessity of faith and the necessity laid upon preachers to preach simply and clearly. I hope that just a few minutes into this message, you've understood all the words that I say. I've worked very hard to look at every word that I plan on saying to make sure it's easy to understand so you can understand exactly what it is I'm saying. I don't think anybody's had any difficulty understanding what I'm saying. Here's our problem. By nature, we won't believe it until God gives us faith. And you know how he gives faith to his people? Through the preaching of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing. That's how he gives faith in Christ. So this is what Paul's saying. All of us are dead. We're dead in Adam. And the only way we can ever be made spiritually alive, receive spiritual life, is through faith in Christ, who is our life. When we believe Christ, we have life. And when the Spirit gives us life, we believe Christ. Life and faith are two sides of the same coin. You receive them at the exact same time. You don't receive one, then get the other. You receive them at the exact same time. The moment the Spirit gives us life in Christ, we believe. We have faith. That's what John the Baptist said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Has it right now. He does not believe the Son hath not life. Spiritual life can only come to us through faith in Christ. Righteousness before God can only come through faith in Christ. Now that's so simple. I know everybody here understands that. Now believe. Just believe. Believe Christ and you shall be saved. Believe on him and you shall have eternal life. And this life, it's all in Christ. The just shall live by faith. This life is all in Christ through faith in him. And I believe I can show you that from this one verse of Scripture. Paul says the gospel of Christ reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Now, I can't tell you through the years how often I've looked at that phrase, from faith to faith, and how long I've looked at it this week. I've read a lot of different commentaries, and pretty much all of them had something different to say about it. And usually I've heard this phrase used this way or interpreted this way. The just shall live by faith, from one degree of faith to another degree of faith. And that's true. Faith is a growing grace. And no matter how much faith grows, justification and life is always through faith in Christ. No matter how much we grow in faith, no matter how much we grow in knowledge or in grace, our salvation, we'll see, is still totally dependent upon Christ. The more faith grows, the more we see, I need faith to believe him. I need him. When faith grows, that doesn't mean that somehow we grow less dependent on God, and instead of just holding us up, you know, he just props us up or just helps us. No, we never become independent, no matter how much faith grows. The more faith grows, the more we see and understand, I'm more dependent on Christ. I understand I'm more dependent on Christ than when I first believed, because faith has grown. And that's a good meaning of that. From one degree of faith to another degree of faith, it's always by faith. Always through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe this is a better interpretation of this. That righteousness is from faith to faith. Salvation comes to God's people from the faithfulness of Christ. And we receive it through faith in Christ. It's from the faith of Christ to faith in Christ. Those justified ones, the just shall live by faith. Those justified ones, you know why they have spiritual life? Why do they have eternal life? It was because of the faithfulness of Christ to earn it for them. The faithfulness of Christ to obey God's law perfectly. The faithfulness of Christ to suffer and die as their sacrifice, as their substitute, so they would receive life. We receive that through the faith of Christ. Let me show you that in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, verse 16. God's elect are saved by the faithfulness of Christ to accomplish all of our salvation. And we receive that through faith in him. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. We know this. We cannot make ourselves justified by keeping the law. But we're justified how? By the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So see, it's by the faith of Christ to accomplish all of our salvation. And we receive it through faith in him, by believing him, by trusting him, by resting in him to be all that God requires of me. I don't have to contribute some of my works of the law. Because Christ is all. Christ is enough. So the focus of this phrase in Romans, the just shall live by faith, is that all of our salvation, from beginning to end, it's all through faith in Christ. Now let me say this about faith. Faith is not just believing that God is. I can't remember a time I didn't believe that God is. You know, I was just a little guy. I mean, 2 years old. My parents told me, God is. Say your prayers before you go to bed. God, I've always believed God is. And as I got a little older, I mean, you just look around this world. You're just, you're being willingly ignorant to say that God isn't, is. I mean, that's just, you know, it's obvious. The devils believe God is. They know God is. They're not saved. So faith is not just knowing that God is. Faith is not just believing what we call the doctrines of grace. We ought to believe the doctrines of grace. The doctrines of grace, the 5 points of Calvinism, they're undeniable fact. We ought to believe undeniable fact, but facts don't save sinners, do they? Christ saves sinners. Faith in Christ is simply this. It's to rely on Christ to be all of my salvation. That's all faith is. It's just to rely on him. And when you believe Christ, when you trust him to be everything you need, everything God requires to save a sinner like you, all the rest of that stuff is going to become obvious. It will. God will teach you. I am dead and hopeless, but Christ is not. And he's able to save me. He's the only one who can. So all of my faith, all of my reliance on salvation is in him. The just shall live by faith. All right, now look back at the book of Habakkuk. If you'll go to the end of the Old Testament, go back, I think it's 5 books, you'll find the book of Habakkuk. This is the first time the phrase, the just shall be, or shall live by faith, is used in Scripture. In Habakkuk, the focus is on this phrase is on this, that God will deliver his people from his wrath against their sin. God will deliver his people from bondage to sin. Now you just wait on him to do it. Faith just waits on God to do what he promised he'd do. That's the focus here. Now this afternoon, if you want to, you can read Habakkuk chapter 1. And the Lord in that chapter promises awful judgment upon the nation Israel. The Lord says, Habakkuk, you tell the people this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up a heathen people. I'm going to raise up these heathen idolaters. I'm going to give them power. I'm going to give them authority. I'm going to give them ability. And they're going to invade Israel. And I'm going to use those heathen to punish my people. You know who those heathen are that the Lord's going to raise up at this time? They're the forefathers of modern day ISIS. And they are just as wicked and just as vile then as they are today. That's the people God said, I'm going to use them to invade my people and punish Israel, my people. And you know, when they do, you know what they're going to do? They're going to give credit to their idol for doing it. And God said, I'm going to let them do it. And when they come, there'll be no way of escape. And Habakkuk hears that. And imagine if that was us today. We'd be just like Habakkuk. I don't understand. I do not understand. I don't have to go very far through my day to see something. And I know God did that, or it wouldn't happen. But I don't know why. I don't have the foggiest idea why God's doing what he's doing. And Habakkuk, the Lord gives him some wisdom. You know what he does? He seeks God in prayer. Why, Lord? Why is this? Why? Would you tell me why? And then you know what Habakkuk does? He shuts up and he waits to see if God will answer. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. This is the answer, part of the answer. When Habakkuk just asked the Lord why, and he shut up and waited. This is the answer that the Lord gave him. The just shall live by faith. Now this judgment's coming. But God gives his people a promise of life. He gives his people a promise of deliverance. And it's through faith in God. Just to rest in God to do what he promised he'd do. Just wait on him. The Lord here gives Habakkuk a promise to save his people who humbly wait on the Lord. See, there's a matter. Faith is willing to wait. If I believe that God's going to do exactly what he said he'll do, then I'm willing to wait on him to do it. I don't have to try to help him out. And as far as it relates to Israel here, those people who you can't fight, and defeat the enemy, you can't find a way to escape them. If your only hope of life, your only hope of deliverance is just to wait on the Lord. God says the just shall live by faith. And the picture is the picture of salvation. God's people are born in this world and they're in bondage to sin. And they cannot escape it. Oh, they can try to fight against it by keeping the law. They can try to fight against sin by quit sinning. But they're going to fail. Their works can't set them free. The only way for us to be delivered from sin is to be delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. By his work of righteousness. By his sacrifice to pay for our sin. And the soul that God's given faith in Christ will just wait on him to do it. And we won't try to help him out in the meantime. We just wait. But that soul that's lifted up with pride, it's lifted up with pride. It's those who are proud of their own righteousness. Now, isn't that religious people so proud of their own righteousness? But God says they're not upright in heart. God who looks on the heart says they're not upright in heart. They're not just because they're trusting in their own works to make them righteous. And here's their problem, what they don't know. All their works are sinful. They can't do anything righteous. They're just filthy rags defiled with sin. And trusting in those things can never make a person upright. And those proud people are still today. And I tell you how you can find them, how you can identify them. They're proud. They won't wait on the Lord. They do not trust the Lord to save his people simply by the preaching of Christ. They don't trust the Lord to give his people faith in Christ simply by the preaching of the gospel. And because of that, they can't preach the gospel to somebody and leave them alone with God. They've got to bug the everlasting daylights out of them. They've got to get them to sign on the bottom line. They've got to get them to make a decision. If you don't make this decision, you're going to go to hell if you get in the car wreck on the way home. And when they do that, you know, they can arm twist and get someone to make a decision. But when they do, you know what they've done? They've given that poor sinner a work to trust in. Something they did. It might be just, they might consider just a small part of their salvation, but they're trusting even the smallest part of their salvation, something they did. Well, then their faith is not in Christ alone. And they can never be justified that way. What an awful thing to do to somebody. God's people, those who have faith in Christ, tell you how you, when you see a preacher, here's how you can tell he believes God. He preaches Christ to you and lets you alone. Just let you alone. God's going to save his people. I know that. He will. I don't have to talk to you and doing something. You hear the voice of Christ, you'll come to him. Those who are not upright, see, they don't trust Christ alone. They can't. So you know what they do? They think, well, Christ's righteousness alone is not enough. So we got to do something. So you know what they do? They don't give the whole law to people because that's too much. But they pick out a few. They're kind of their favorites. And they give men those laws to live by. And if you don't live by them, you're not righteous. If you do, they say you are righteous. But when they do that, they make void the righteousness of Christ. They take away the sinner's only hope of righteousness. It's through faith in Christ to rely on him to do everything God requires for me. They do that because they don't think Christ alone is enough to justify them, to make them righteous, to set them free from the bondage of the law. But the just shall live by faith. They're willing to just preach Christ and wait on him to save his people. They're just willing to preach Christ and have God's people rejoice in Christ to finish the work of salvation for them. And let them just rest in Christ. Whenever I preach the gospel, I always want to preach in such a way that if someone's here who doesn't know the Lord will be forced to look to Christ, because I hope I've not given them anywhere else to look. And my second goal is this, that those who know the Lord, those who know Christ, those who trust in him, will leave here assured, that's my Savior. That leave here with a heart that's thrilled. Not because of how eloquent I am, because I'm not, but thrilled because they saw Christ in the Word, and thrilled and assured, I know I'm saved because that's my Savior. Our assurance is in him. The just shall live by faith. And the just, those who have been given faith in Christ, they'll wait. They'll just keep waiting on God because they believe God will save his people. They just keep preaching. They just keep preaching Christ. They just keep looking to Christ. And eventually, they know God's going to provide a way out. God's going to deliver. And I'll tell you what, to us, it's going to seem like a long time. In Habakkuk's day, some people heard that and they thought, well, all right, you know, the Lord's going to deliver us. And it took, to them, it seemed so long, they quit believing. They kept waiting. They quit waiting. But true faith just keeps waiting, no matter how long it takes. Even when human reasoning, and especially when human reasoning sees no reason at all to believe God's going to do what he does, what he promised to do, faith keeps believing he'll do it. Look here at chapter 3, verse 17. This is faith speaking. Although the fir tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. There's no earthly reason for me to rejoice. There's no earthly reason for me to think God's going to keep his promise. But faith says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I don't have any strength, but the Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he'll make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments, let's sing that. Even when there's nothing in the field and everything's died in the field, let's sing that. I will rejoice in the Lord. That's what faith says. All right, look in Galatians chapter 3. The third time the phrase, the just shall live by faith, is used in scriptures in Galatians chapter 3. And the focus here is on justification. Justification is being made without any sin. And the only way a sinner can be made without sin is through faith in Christ. Galatians 3 verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now the law, if we're going to be just, if we're going to justify our own selves, we've got to keep all of the law of God all of the time. We can never break one time. Well, we can't do that. But you know, when the believer looks at the law, the believer says the law is holy. It's just, it's good, it's right. Believers love God's law. I can't personally keep it, but I love God's law. David said three times, I love thy law. But people who use the law, they use it all wrong. They use it as a means of justification, as a means of salvation by us keeping the law. They're using it all wrong. The law was never given so a man would have a way to earn his own salvation. The law was never given as a way a man could keep himself saved by keeping the law. Never was it given for that. You know why God gave the law? To drive men to Christ. To see, I can't keep that. I need to go to the one who can. That's why the law was given. Let me give you five reasons why the law ought to drive us to Christ. Number one, the law was written on tables of stone. It wasn't written on parchment. It was written on tables of stone to show us the inflexibility of the law. It can't bend to suit us. The law is inflexible. That ought to drive us to Christ, who will keep the law. Second, the law was written by the finger of God to show it's God Himself who's going to judge whether we've kept the law or not. And it's God Himself who will issue punishment for not keeping it. Well, that ought to drive us to Christ, shouldn't it? Third, the law was given in a fearful way. When the law was given, there were thundering and lightning and the blast of the trumpet. It ought to have scared people to death. It ought to have crushed all hope of keeping the law. So it would drive us to Christ. And fourthly, the law was given through a mediator to show us we cannot deal with God directly. God gave the law. He called Moses, and Moses come up here in this mountain. And God gave Moses the law, and Moses took the law and took it back to the people. And Israel was glad it was that way. They were afraid. They said, Moses, don't let God speak to us. We can't stand it. Let God speak to you, then you come back and speak to us. The law was given to show us we need a mediator. We can't deal with God directly. That ought to drive us to Christ, shouldn't it? And then fifth, the law, when we read it, ought to drive us to Christ, because all the law can do is curse the sinner. That's all it can do. It can never say, well, I know you didn't mean to do it, so it's okay. The law can never do that. All the law can do is curse the sinner. Well, what's the curse of the law? Eternal death. That's what the law says. The law demands death for sin. Well, who's under that curse? Every man, woman, boy, or girl who's trying to keep the law to make God happy with them. Those people are under the curse. If you're trying to keep the law, if you're trying to do something religious to make God happy with you so He'll accept you, you know, above somebody else, my friend, I'm here to warn you, you're under the curse of the law. All the law can say to you is death. All the law can do is curse anyone who's trying to keep the law to make God happy with us. Because God can only accept us if we keep the law perfectly. Always. And we can't even do that for a second, can we? Just one sin puts us under the whole curse of the law. All of the condemnation of the law falls upon us for just one sin. Well, we know we can't do that. We've got Adam's nature. All Adam's nature can do is sin. So it's easy. It should be easy for us to see. I need to run to Christ. I need to run to Christ who did keep the law. There is one way out of the curse of the law. You know what it is? It's in Christ. It's through faith in Christ who kept the law for us. Look at verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith. Paul says this is evident. This is obvious. The only way a sinner can be justified is through faith in Christ. The only way we can be delivered from the curse of the law is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who kept the law for his people. And after he established perfect righteousness for his people as a substitute, he traded places with his people and he died to satisfy the law's last demand so that his people would be set free from the curse of the law. That's what he says in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's how the believer is completely set free from the curse of the law. Because Christ already died. He already died for his people. We're set free from the law because we've already died to the law. We who believe have already died to the law in the person of Christ our substitute. And we're free from the law. Isn't that good news? You're free from the law. You're free from the law's demands. You do not have to keep the law or make God happy with you. Christ already did. And you're free from the curse of the law. You don't have to, if you believe Christ, you don't have to worry about the death of this body for an instant. Because after the death of this body, you'll not experience eternal death. You'll experience eternal life. Because Christ already died to set us free from the curse of the law. Then look at Hebrews chapter 10. Here's the fourth place, this phrase, the just shall live by faith, is used. Hebrews chapter 10. The focus here in Hebrews 10 is this. It's perseverance in the faith. Perseverance in the faith. The just shall live by faith. They'll live continuing by faith in Christ, and they'll never quit believing him. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith, and they'll never draw back. If you draw back, God says, my soul, I have any pleasure in you. You didn't have real faith, genuine faith in the first place. The only way a believer can persevere all the way to the end is by depending on Christ to carry us all the way home. Now, a believer does grow in grace. We grow in knowledge of Christ. Surely we grow in knowledge of Christ. The more we hear Christ preach, the more we grow in knowledge of him, the more he'll reveal himself to us. A believer grows in love for Christ. How can you not? If you continually hear of the sacrifice of Christ for you, you continually hear of his unmerited love for you, how can you not grow in love for him? How can you not grow in love for his people? You grow in that. You grow in patience. We grow in impatience. That's not a linear growth. At least it's not for me. It's kind of a thing, you know. But you know how we grow in patience? Because we wait on the Lord. Sure enough, he does what he promised he'd do, we think. Yeah, I've seen. I've got evidence of that. And then next time, we wait on the Lord. We remember. He delivered me in the past. I waited long enough. He delivered me in this time. And it helped me wait this time. We grow in patience. We grow in joy of the Lord. But the believer never grows in self-sufficiency. A believer is always dependent upon Christ. The just shall live by faith. Faith. How can I get this faith that's going to grow and carry me all the way to the end? If you're here Thursday night, Brother Marvin made a wonderful statement. I can't say it like he did, but he said, faith cometh, 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 cometh by hearing. It doesn't mean faith came one time by hearing and then that was enough, did it? Faith cometh. It continually comes to us. It's continually fed and strengthened by hearing. It's strengthened the same way faith came to us the first time. by hearing of Christ. And it's strengthened by hearing of Christ. And those who have faith in Christ, they're going to live by it. The just shall live by faith. And you know why? Faith in Christ will never let the believer go anywhere but Christ for everything we need. Verse 39. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Faith in Christ will not let us go to the law for justification or for sanctification. You know why? Faith says Christ is my justification and my sanctification. I look to Him. Faith is not going to let the believer go to the law to find a rule of life. No. Faith looks to Christ, who is our rule of life. Faith in Christ is not going to let us start depending upon our knowledge to make the right decision and do the right thing. No, faith looks to Christ, who is our wisdom. You see, we began this thing of salvation. We began this thing of eternal life through faith in Christ. And the believer is going to take every single step to glory from here to there by faith in Christ. We walk this walk. We walk the rest of our journey here below by faith, looking to Christ, depending upon Christ. We walk through this journey below saying with David, I'm going to look to Him. He's all my salvation and all of my desire. My desire is to see Him and to be with Him. We walk by faith. That's how we finish this journey, by faith. And when we finally arrive in glory, we're going to open our eyes, and you know what we're going to see? We're going to see Christ face to face. No more faith. No more faith. It'll be by sight. It'll be by sight. But the sight there sees the exact same thing faith sees here. It's Christ. In eternity, it'll still, we won't have faith anymore, but it'll still all be Christ. It's just there. It'll be by sight. But until then, may God grant us this faith to live by Christ. All right, let's bow in prayer.